Well, good morning once again. It's good to be with you, be able to worship the Lord with you. We have been in one passage of Scripture for almost a month now. During this month of February, we have been centered, we have been focused on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We've looked at how love brings us together, how love brings unity in the first week. Last week we looked at the challenge in our life to love and to put others first in that love. And one more time, I'd like to read for you this morning. Out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, those first seven verses that challenge us today. It says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres." You know, many times when I preach, and I was told it was kind of the best way to preach, is when you're preaching, preach to yourself and you'll usually hit most of the audience. Say what you need to hear, say what God needs to remind you of, and you'll hit a good chunk of people. Well, last week Carolyn reminded me of something that I had said in the message last week. We were pulling in to the Walmart parking lot, and the first spot was open, and it was a cold day. And I was so happy to see that first spot open, and I pulled in, and I went to go and shift in the park, and Carolyn goes, "So, remember when you said, like, put others first?" "Yeah. Remember when you said to park a little further away?" "I said, yeah, you can take the car and you can walk up here." No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. But some of these things can be hard. When we're looking at ways to love others, when we're looking at ways to put others first, it can be hard in our lives to really take that step and take on that challenge and really live it out, do it ourselves. And I want to remind you today that God knows the struggle of loving others. And I want to remind you that God doesn't ask you to go where He hasn't already been, and God doesn't ask you to do what He hasn't already done. With the focus that we've had on 1 Corinthians, I want us to focus our attention today, flipping over to 1 John. To 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to be reminded today that where God has asked us to work, where God has asked us to love, where God has asked us to put others first in our actions, He's already been. 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 7, says, "Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. This is how we show, this is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us His Spirit. We have seen and we testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they live in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because God first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whomever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love his brother or sister. You see, it says it time and time again in 1 John. God is love. Not only that God is love, but that God also gave love. You know, when I hear this verse, when I hear this section of Scripture that continues to say that God is love, the things that come to mind is, yeah, you know, all that God has done, He is really good at loving. You know, all the ways that God, I mean, He sent His Son, that was so selfless of Him. God really does a great job of loving other people. He really does a great job of that. But the more I look and the more I see, it doesn't say that God does a good job of loving or that God loves well. It says that God is love. It goes past the actions and it's part of who He is. For us to be able to fully comprehend who God is and what all He is, all the parts of God, I don't think we'll ever get to. We see right now just a piece of who God is. We start to be able to grasp a little bit of who God is, of how He loves, how He lives. God is so complex and so complete, so perfect and so eternal, so incredible that we could only hope to imagine all of His traits and all the ways He thinks. Romans 11:33-36, it's written with awe, saying, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from Him all, and through Him, and for Him all things are made. To Him be the glory forever. Amen." We can talk about the different parts of God. How He's just, how He's jealous, how He's righteous, how He's holy, how He's perfect and how He's good, how He's omnipresent and above us, but at the same time personal, and how He's the Creator and how He's the first and the last, how He's the beginning and the end. All of these ways putting into what God is. We even talk about the way that He is love. and how much that brings along with it. How it brings us back to that 1 Corinthians, that God is patient, that He is kind, all the way through. And He tells us that love will never fail. And I want to remind you today that God will never fail you. God is the love that we need. God is the love that's searched for in every longing heart. In this world, we try to fit that hole and fill that hole with many different things. We turn to so many paths that the world has to offer, searching for love, searching for the true love that God gives. Only to find, as we twist and turn the images of love that the world has tried to sell, we find that there's only one God, one way, one truth, one life, and one love that really settles our hearts. The great news is that love is there for you. That love has been given to you. 1 John reminds us of the gospel story. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for us. It's easy to love someone back. It's easy when someone is showing you love, when someone is giving you kindness, when someone is investing in you, when someone is devoted to you. It's easy to love back. And so many times that's what our love is it's loving back. Saying, I see all the ways that you've worked. I see all the ways that you have given. I see all the ways that you have showed your love, and I love you back. But it's hard to love first. It's hard to love someone when they're still throwing you under the bus. It's hard to love someone when they're still beating you up. It's hard to love someone when they're cursing your name. It's hard to love someone when they're purposely getting on your nerves. It's hard to love someone when they're rebelling from you. It's hard to love someone when they choose not to obey. It's hard to love someone when they wish you weren't even there. And that's right where God found us. Rebelling from, running away. Saying, I don't care what you have to say. And it was in that moment that God first loved us. Before we had given Him anything, before we deserved it. Not that we loved Him, but that He loved us. Before we started to obey, before we were cleaned up, He saw us before we were worthy, while we were still broken. while we were sinners running from His presence. And at that moment, love showed up. God loved us in a binding, selfless way. He loved us when we didn't deserve, but He loved us so much that He freely gave. And He gave everything to get us back. When God could have chosen to turn, when God could have chosen to leave us to our own devices, God sent His Son as an act of love. So I want to ask you today, what does your love look like? Our love should be a mirror. From the first chapter of the Bible, we are told that God chose to make us in His image. God chose to make mankind in His own image, so He created them. Male and female, He created them. In His own image, it's quite a powerful thing. And He gives that to us. He gives that responsibility to us. He gives that call to us. And we see that God is love. So what does your reflection of that love look like? As we are being made into the image of God, what is your reflection? And that's a question that we have to ask ourselves each and every day. God reached out to the broken. What's your reflection? God chose to love the unlovable. What's your reflection? God chose to give to the needy. What's your reflection? God chose to be a servant. What's your reflection? God chose to be humble when He had all the reasons to show pride. What's your reflection? God chose to put others first. What's your reflection? God chose to forgive even when it hurt. What's your reflection? God chose to love first. What's your reflection today? How are we displaying the love of God in this world? Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and He is made complete in us. Let's choose to love one another today. In spite of our differences, in spite of our opinions, in spite of our hang-ups, hurts, or histories, let's choose to love, even if it's for the sole reason that Christ loved us first. This world needs a change. This world needs a change that's not going to come from banners or signs or Facebook posts. It's not a change that's going to happen when we get the right people in office. Jesus told us that others will know who we are based on one thing. One thing alone. It wasn't what side of the aisle you sit on or what bumper sticker you have on the car. Jesus said, "By this, everyone will know that you are My disciples, if you love one another." God has given you His love. God is love. This past week, a man who had a great impact on the world for Christ, passed away. Billy Graham once said, "God has given us two hands, one to receive and the other to give away. We are not cisterns made for hoarding, we are channels meant for sharing." Folks, I don't know anything better to share with the world that God has given me than His love. The love that saves us, the love that brings us to Him. 1 Corinthians reminds us time and time again that without love, we are nothing. And I can tell you today that if not for the love of Christ, we would be nothing. I pray that you'll choose today. If you've never chosen before to give your life to Christ, to accept the love that He gives and to commit your life to Him, to living a reflection of His love, would you come forward during this next song? Will you stand and pray with me?